the stats, the salt, the sanity. And every so often, they talk about sports, too. Here is Eric Dorsch, Russ Ivanek, and Justin Marcus. This is Armchair Sports Talk.
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart. The very next day, you gave it away. This year, to save me from tears, I'll give it to someone special.
Look, I know it's been a while, but we have a tradition, you know, to quote Jim Nantz, a tradition like no other. We have to give you our Christmas wishes every year. It's a requirement. So we figured, you know what, if we're going to do that, we might as well do a podcast. We're going to bring him in real quick, going to get the show going. First up, the man on the other side of the country who, you know, he might know more about what's going on with the Lions than I do, and he's not even in the time zone to watch the games.
Oh, hey. Here's a fun fact about living halfway across the country. Half the time, I don't get to watch the Lions. So I have to watch it later or catch up or incessantly scroll through Twitter to see they went for a fourth down on where? And they did what? Brock Wright? Oh, my. Oh, my.
They've done some things this year that have both caused my blood pressure to rise and my belief in Detroit football again. Both things are on the rise right now, Russ, and I don't know how to take it.
You take it with two venti, 40 ounces, you know, the Dan Campbell style, and you just hope that your heart gives out from the caffeine before the football kills you.
With a dash and kneecap. I got you. Dash and kneecap. And the other guy, Sergeant Salty Justin Marcus.
What's popping, fam? We're back.
Don't worry. We didn't forget about you, bud. We didn't forget about you. We knew you were there. Jay, we're going to talk about the Lions, but before we talk about the Lions, we have to talk about something that to me might be the most important thing in sports, and that is, did you see the Christmas sweater worn by your head basketball coach last night?
Yeah, it complimented the red face really well when he got angry. Let's put it that way. He looked like an old relative mad that someone took the last glass of eggnog at Christmas. Like he did not look good.
I loved it. I thought he looked great, man. I think he should just start wearing those sweaters year round.
It was too comical for me. I couldn't handle it.
Tom Izzo is to me like one bad game away from just showing up to games in track suits. I really think that I think he should just be that guy that shows up in a Michigan State track suit to every game. Like the Bobby Knight look is really what he should be going for.
I mean, he can kind of get away with anything at this point in his career, but I'll accept the Bobby Knight more than the holiday cheer. He doesn't exude holiday cheer for me. He's always an angry man.
He doesn't do it a ton, no. All right, look, there's a bunch of topics we could discuss, but I think we very rarely in our lives have gotten an opportunity to talk about a team that started out the season 1-6, and it was just won 6 of their last 7 games. And, you know, has almost everybody in the industry saying, I don't know if anybody wants to face the Detroit Lions right now. And that's not something, usually it's the other way around. I think everybody wants to face the Detroit Lions right now to get their confidence up. And that's not happening right now. I saw something the other day that kind of threw me for a loop. I had to write it down because there's no way there's numbers in there. And I don't do numbers like Russ believes. Jared Goff has not thrown an interception in 219 consecutive passes.
Oh, no, that's like saying no hitter, man.
This has established a new franchise record and serves as the longest active streak in the NFL. He's the first Lions quarterback to go 6 straight starts without producing a turnover.
We can't talk about this. We don't talk about Bruno. Like, this is happening right now.
It's not even that. He's probably against Carolina just going to go pick crazy. But don't worry, Jamal Williams will score 4 touchdowns and only have 7 rushing yards of the 4 touchdowns because it'll be all goal line touchdowns. But it takes me to the first question I want to ask, and I think it's the most important question because we are still miles away from the end of the year. We are miles away from draft day and all that. But, Russ, has Jared Goff earned QB1 next year for the Detroit Lions, regardless of what they do in the draft?
I'll say no because the NFL is – stop me if you've heard this one before. what have you done for me lately, league? And that usually resets in the off season. Like, the only exception for me is if A, they find a way to make the playoffs, which, hey, win this week, and it's projected to be like a 75% probability. Mm-hmm. But make the playoffs. And then if he wins one, okay. That's where I draw the line. Anything less than that, you can't convince me that the Jared Goff from the second half of the season is completely different than the Jared Goff of the first half of the season, right? This turnaround, the 6-1 stretch is phenomenal. Let's not forget that you had to get to 1-6 before you got here, right? And it's this, it's the same guy inhabiting the same body, right? Even though the play on the field has been different, I just don't know if the pumpkin's going to turn, you know, to keep being carriage or turn back into a pumpkin at any point here. And really, the playoffs is where I feel more comfortable being able to say that. Is that an incredibly entitled opinion from a Detroit Lions fan who's never seen them watch a play, win a playoff game? Sure. Yep. It sure is. But you are being gift wrapped a top five pick from the Rams, where you don't have to be bad enough to get that. That and that kind of luxury, you have to think long and hard about addressing the most important position in football. And if you have a chance to get a guy who solves that for the next decade, thanks, Jared Goff. But Alex Smith lost his job to Patrick Mahomes for a reason.
Yep. Very true. Jay?
Yeah, no, he is. Okay, answer your question directly. I'm going to try to do this throughout the whole show today. Yes, he is QB1. He is QB1, but he has the thinnest of margins of safety from falling out of being QB1. Whether it's the Rams pick, whether it's a late round pick, I think regardless of playoffs or not, which, by the way, I think Russ is right. If he does anything playoff-ish, it cements him, right? But someone's got to play quarterback if we're bringing in a rookie. And I'm not screaming CJ Stroud. I'll take anyone in like later rounds of that draft. But someone's going to still have to play football in the early parts of the season. I don't know what the schedule looks like next year. This year was very front heavy with fierce competition, and now it's gotten a little lax. But if it's anything like that, I'm not throwing a rookie against the Bills or the Chiefs or anyone really. Like, he's going to have to be this guy to then go, I'm old and busted and I'm out. And I think he'll know that. Like, Jared's been here for how many years, guys? How many seasons has he been in the league?
This will be his second full season. Oh, in the league?
Yeah, in the league. Holy shit, he got young.
Jared Goff's 28. He's not that old.
He's not that old. He has been in the league since 16. 16 was his first season. So this is his sixth year in the league.
Six. Yeah.
Well,
wrapping up his sixth year in the league.
With that being said, I think like the number 30 in the NHL scares me. And I think that 30 could also play here for quarterbacks. I know there's the Tom Brady's and everyone else who can do marvelous things, but he's a short-term, thin-margined QB1. He will not be my QB1 when, you know, it's 2025. Easily gone. I can't see him here much longer than another year.
Okay. Well, I said it earlier in the season when we were doing our pre-Lions preview. I said Jared Goff should be the guy here. I think that he is the guy that when they do make the turn, which they appear to be making a turn, he's going to be a great guy. He's going to be a great piece to have. He's eighth in the league in yards. 23 touchdowns, that's got him top 10 in the league. He's got 7 interceptions, which means he's just outside the top 10. And he's got the 6th best QBR rating in the league. The guy is putting up the numbers and making the right moves to keep these guys effective. Now, he's getting a lot of help. That offensive line has become beyond belief tremendous. It's one of the top lines. For the first time, and I don't know how long, we can say that we have a defensive line that's actually horrifying to have to deal with. I mean, Aiden Hutchinson is a Pro Bowl alternate in his rookie year. We have the two leading rookies in sacks in James Houston, which, by the way, where that man came from, I don't know. I had never heard of him until he came up with his fourth sack of the year. Yeah. Thanks for that, Jay.
He came from Houston, Texas. Sorry.
Did he? That's is that how that works? Your last name is where you're from?
If only, right?
Yeah. This team, you have St. Brown, who I will make the argument right now, and I think I've made the argument most of the year, is a top 10 receiver in this league right now. You can't really argue it. The guy is, he just always seems to be open, and I don't get how that's possible. You have a backfield where I don't know what's going on, but I think something's very wrong with DeAndre Swift. He doesn't seem to understand that you're not supposed to run sideways with the football. You're supposed to go past that line that you guys have and keep progressing. And he's really struggling with that. Jamal Williams, you know, in my opinion, is a Pro Bowler. He's leading the league in touchdown rushing touchdowns. He's having a great year. And this is a very complete, balanced team. So assuming there's not going to be a lot of turnover between this year and next year, I would say it's almost like, and I'm going to kind of shoot myself in the foot by saying this, it's almost like that Michigan thing of why would you change quarterbacks? Now, again, J.J. McCarthy worked out, but you have a winning formula. I don't see the need to change it because it's clearly working for you. That being said, I think they draft a quarterback in the first round this year. They're going to have two first-round picks. I don't see them using the you know, right now it's projected to be the fourth overall pick because the Rams are terrible. I don't see them using it on C.J. Stroud there. Assuming the Lions win out, they'll finish 10-7, and they'll, you know, that'll probably knock them out of the top 15, probably into the, you know, the 20s. There's a definitely an availability for a quarterback there. So I see them taking one there. That, or you're really banking on it that you're going to be able to come up with some kind of deal and wait a year and get Caleb Williams. But I don't see that happening. I think they're going to want to have a guy in there learning and building. But to me, it's Jared Goff. Something insane would have to happen between now and August that Jared Goff isn't under center for the start of the season next year as the Lions quarterback. And I just don't know what that could be. He's doing too good of a job to not be the guy. And I think he's the guy past Jay, no offense. I think unless, you know, CJ Stroud or Hendon Hooker turn out to be the next big deal, I think he's the quarterback of the future for the Detroit Lions.
Offense was had.
Offense on your family. I think to address that, the one thing that might be able to stop that from happening is the salary cap. Because Jared Goff is getting paid like a top 10 quarterback. And you can get away with a lot of other things because, hey, they've knocked it out of the park in the draft, right? There's a Houston, right? We were just talking about you're getting a ton of value out of a guy who's, I believe, a fourth round pick, right? So he's dirt cheap against the cap for now. This offensive line, Penei Sewell, is going to be expensive. Now you kick the can completely away, right? Not just down the road, but off the highway with Hockenson, right? So you don't have to worry about that. But there's some big ticket things that are going to come up eventually. And after next year, Goff can pretty much be just wiped off the books. He's got two more years on his contract after that, and you can just say goodbye to the rest of it. Mm-hmm. And barring, you know, teams that have Tom Brady, the last 10 years, the teams that have won the Super Bowl have had a quarterback on a rookie contract. And that's tough, right? Because you need a complete team, because 10-7 likely isn't a team that's of the caliber that's going to win the Super Bowl. Sometimes it happens, sure. But you to get that complete team around him, to have linebackers of note at all, it costs money, right? And you can only get away with that for so long with Jared Goff there. Now, if he takes us to another level, if they keep succeeding on rookie contracts like this, sure. You can put in that A-plus effort in finding rookies to compensate for that. It's really effing hard.
Feels like a small window. Like a really small window of time, whether it's going to happen with Goff or even a rookie quarterback. I'm getting a sense of unsettledness. Like I feel I'm uneasy about the rest of the season. I'm uneasy about the draft. I'm uneasy about quarterbacks of the future. It's weird. And we're winning. And yet there's still like this, okay, how do we go to the next part of the story together?
Yeah. Hence the title of this episode. I don't know how to handle Lions success. It's very tough to do. And no, I agree with you, Russ. Look, right now you could, and it's a huge stretch to do, but right now you could make an argument. We have the best tackle tandem in the NFL right now. These two don't make a lot of mistakes. They're pretty darn good. Our starting right guard is a center by position, but Frank Ragnow's better than him. So they have to find a way to get him on the field. So yes, you're going to have to pay Penei Sewell eventually. You're going to have to pay him Amon-Ra St. Brown. Unless he starts dropping a lot of footballs, he's going to be worth some money. It's weird. Like I said a minute ago, I think there's something wrong with him. I don't know that DeAndre Swift's our running back. I think for right now, he's great. I don't know if he's that guy. So you could maybe not have to address paying him. And if you do pay him, you can look at him and be like, look, you're not putting up, you know, 1,300 yards and 20 touchdowns and giving us another 600 yards out of the backfield catching the ball. So you're going to get money. We're going to pay you, but you're not getting Zeke, Derrick Henry, you know, Alvin Kamara kind of money. We'll give you some money, but it's not going to be that tier. So you're okay in that regard. But yes, there are some guys they're going to have to pay. They're going to run into that problem no matter what. The thing I see about it is, you know, I gave you the numbers. He's a top 10 guy. I don't think Jared Goff's going to be like Stafford and Mahomes and Rodgers and Josh Allen, where he's going to be able to come in and go, okay, time to sign a new deal. Make it big. He's not going to be able to do that. He could say, I want a good contract, but he's not, I don't see him being the guy that's going to break the checkbook. He's going to be the guy that's going to ask for what he's owed, and he's going to get a decent amount of money, but I don't see him getting into that, you know, top five QB money right now. I don't see that. I think he knows what he is to this team, and he knows in order for this team to keep being effective, they have to be able to afford to get all those other pieces around him, like Shark, like St. Brown. They're going to have to address – I like Brock Wright, but you can't tell me Brock Wright's a number one tight end on a football team. No I like way. Brock Wright. I have no problem with Brock Wright. He, you know, 51-yard touchdown after dropping a key ball. He's a great blocker. But even though we were never fully sold, the distance between him and Hockenson in offensive talent is very noticeable. So they're going to have to address that at some – and that's going to cost some money too. So I think Jared Goff – I have to mention him in every episode, so it's okay. I think Jared Goff is going to have to take that Tom Brady approach of, I'll take my money so that we have money to spare so we can go win games, which is what Brady Family did discount. All those years. Yeah.
Well, the problem, though, is he can't – I mean, his current contract has three more years on it. After next year, yes, you can cut him and restructure or re-sign a new deal if he's down for that. But he has the 10th largest QB contract today. He's already getting paid as a top 10 quarterback, and you're locked into that. Unless you do some crazy stuff, you're locked into that for three more years at paying a top 10 rate.
Well, let's be honest, Brad Holmes is kind of like, right now I don't think there's any way we could say that Brad Holmes doesn't know what he's doing. He's kind of
he's doing all right.
He's doing pretty good. So something tells me that, and you know, he knows Jared from the, you know, from the draft room in LA. Like, he was there for that. So they have a rapport. They know what they're doing. Something tells me that he's staying in communication with them that, look, for right now, we're okay. We don't have to mess with things. But if we have to start messing with stuff, I need to know where you're at. Because, yeah, like you said, it's either going to be cutting them loose. And congratulations, C.J. Stroud, Hendon Hooker, whoever you want to say, or, you know, free agent to be named later. Or it's, let's rework it. You're our quarterback. You have a real shot to start here on a playoff contending team. So, I mean, we'll see what comes of it. We really, and I'm very interested to see what happens there. But like I said, I get the read from Jared Goff that he's more of a, let's do what's best for the team, not give me all the money in the world and we'll worry about it later. I just the kind that of works. Feel I get, Hope which so. I'm great with.
You're going to need that to keep him.
Mm-hmm. We kind of covered my next, which was going to be, do the Lions actually go first round with a quarterback? I think we're all kind of in agreement that if it makes sense and the right guy's there, they probably do. Jay says no. Okay. That's fair.
No quarterback. Nope.
No quarterback.
No.
Categorically, he says.
In the first round, no. I think the first pick needs to be defense and the second pick needs to be defense. And I'd be fine with that. You know, we traded up for J-Mo and that was a nice piece now and I'm excited for it. But like, his name always escapes me. He's with the Eagles and he's doing just fine. And I would love to have him on our squad. Cause no, well, yes. But no, the defensive tackle that went right after J-Mo, he's hurt right now. But either way, no, I don't want to go QB. We have another year of Goff. I'll go QB like in the second or third. It's got to be a later value pick. I want more good pieces that are cheap, like Russ is talking about. If we're going to commit to the scheme, I want to stick to it.
So is that more just categorically, I'm not even looking at quarterbacks, or I looked at the quarterbacks? And what's going to be there, you know, not at one, not appealing enough to me.
No, CJ, I don't think CJ Stroud will be there. And I don't really have a whole lot of faith in CJ Stroud and Hendon Hooker. And after, I'm good. The value has dropped off for me. So Jordan Davis, I think was his name.
Jordan Davis.
If we would have picked Jordan Davis, I'd probably have a different answer today. But well, this is our path.
Be honest. No, we're probably going to get Will Anderson. So you're going to get your defensive tackle. Talk to me about probably the scariest defensive line in football. You're talking about Kaminsky and Hutchinson on the edges with, surprise, surprise, two sacks against the Jets. Okwara deciding he remembers how to play football. Then you're talking about having McNeil, Isaiah Bugs, who, if you haven't heard Isaiah Bugs mic'd up on YouTube, it's the greatest thing ever. This man made me ready to play defensive tackle for the Lions, and I can't do that. Then you're talking about adding in Will Anderson, Will Anderson. And then you're talking about having Barnes, Malcolm Rodriguez. That's a front seven that's just horrifying to have to deal with.
Go back another spot, though. Then you got Kirby Joseph and Okuda. It's going to be sexy.
By the way, 6 weeks ago, did we ever think Justin would have just put Okuda in there as someone we need to brag about?
Six minutes ago, I knew we would.
I don't know how to handle my emotion. This is all bets are off right now. Anything I've said in the past, fuck that guy. Okay. This is all brand new. None of this makes sense.
It doesn't. But what does make sense, and this was the first topic I wanted to get to, but I knew we had to talk a little Lions to make it thing. We're going to get a little bit having to accept reality here now, and it's a little tough. I personally would like to say it, and I hope it doesn't happen. I really hope it doesn't happen. There were rumors last year about another guy on our staff. I don't think Ben Johnson is here next year. I think with everything he is doing, someone is going to be dumb enough to scoop up Ben Johnson, cough, cough, Indianapolis Colts, because they don't want the NFL doesn't want Jeff Saturday to be the head coach. So they're going to have to do some looking. I don't think Ben Johnson is here next year, Russ.
So here's what I'm proposing. We send two groups of people, one to DDW, the other one just to the border of Southern Michigan. And if Jim Irsay comes within 5 miles of it, we mug him and we send him back the other way, because this dude is constantly linked to Harbaugh for one reason there. But there's going to be people sniffing around Ben Johnson. There's going to be people looking at this and going, Sean McVay, brilliant offensive mind that he was, looked at Jared Goff and said, I will give you him and some premium draft capital to just take him away. Right. And I'll take in on Stafford. Hey, that worked out really well. But if that brilliant mind wasn't able to harness Jared Goff fully anymore, and now Ben Johnson is coming and doing it, somebody's going to try and jump on him. And if it's not this year, it'll be next year. I'm concerned. I think he's still here because I think we have a tendency to do this in Detroit. We saw it last year, right? With the defensive back tandem there. And now Aubrey Plutton's gone. Even though we were anointing those two as, you know, hey, the next coach to be swooped up and his heir apparent for the DC position. And, you know, 5 weeks into the season, that looked to be the complete opposite of what was going on. I think there's going to be enough. Say there's eight openings. Four of them will be some other head coach that has previously sucked and he's going again. One of them will be a New England Patriot cast off who will be back in 3 years. And then there'll be a couple more, you know, new guys that have never been head coach. Ben Johnson falls into that spot. Is there a chance? Sure. God, I hope not. But let him see what he can do. Hopefully the NFL continues to be, you know, risk averse and more conservative with their hires a bit enough to, you know, let him percolate in Detroit and let us reap these rewards for a little bit longer.
Well, the big insanity about that is, as you were talking about that, I was going through my head, this might be one of the years where the hiring's low. I can't think of too many places that need jobs. Like, most teams are doing well enough or have first-year coaches that they're not going to be looking elsewhere. So it gets to that position where Ben Johnson's going to have to beat out some people. Like, you know, I'm going to blank on his name, but Kansas City's offensive coordinator is the top candidate every year, it seems like.
He should have already had a job by now.
Should have already had one. So it is very much that, but the way this offense is going and how it's made such a 180, and like you said, the fact that Jared Goff was cast off from an offensive guru, and now this guy who was a tight ends coach a year ago has him, you know, pulling off these insane things, Jay. I'm worried that he's going to be there just because it's the like you guys said, the what have you done for me lately? It's the hot new thing, not necessarily the consistent thing.
Bring all the press, do all the interviews, and stay at home. That's all I could wish for. Like, let it be a thing that's not a thing.
Justin's like, BJs stay at home.
Yes, BJs are for the bedroom, for the field. So we're not. I don't want to lose anyone. Like walk around the office, and you've got a job. No one leave. This is just the beginning of something that we've never experienced. I don't want to think about anyone leaving.
So no, he's not getting a job. I'm sorry, I've scarred you by leaving the state.
Yeah,
this is a real problem. You left, and now I have actual trauma.
There's legit abandonment issues here. Look, I let it off with, I hope it doesn't happen. I really do hope it doesn't happen. It's just that NFL thing where someone gets that hot hand for a while, and it's very hard to, like, overlook them and say, well, you don't have a lot of experience. You know, you see these guys who are 1-2 year wonders, and before you know it, they've got a head coaching job, and it's like, I just would rather see him stay here. Let's keep building on what we have, and let's see where we can take this, because we're going to get to it in a minute. But this NFC North looks to be a division that the Lions could absolutely grab onto and claim for the next couple years if they really want to. And I'm excited for it. I mean, Minnesota got off to a super hot start. Now, I don't think Minnesota could beat Farmington High School if they really had to. They just look absolutely terrible. They don't really have anything going. Green Bay is – that's the thing that worries me is, if you notice, Green Bay is not that far back. They've secretly kind of walked their way back into it. And I just feel like that final game of the season is going to mean a lot more than it really should, and I don't like that. Chicago is just they have way too many questions to figure out. So the Lions are in a position where they could grab hold of this division going forward and, you know, and run with it. And that's not something we've seen in a long time. But that being said, I heard it on 97.1 the other day, and it really got me thinking. And Jay, you're the eternal optimist. Not really, but is same old Lions still a thing?
Oh, shit. I heard that segment, too. I don't know, man, because I think that that's a hard question to ask. Like, our generation might have a different opinion than other generations, right? But for us, like, same old Lions is Rodgers is hurt. There's an opportunity to win the division. Oh, wait, we fucked it up. Like, the same old Lions. Like, oh, there's this golden pathway we can walk through. Let's walk backwards. I don't think that's happening this year. I don't think it's also dead. So people who are like, I heard them talk, they're like, oh, just make the playoffs. SOL is dead. No, it is not. This is a brief moment in time. I am not optimistic about it. I don't want to say anything about it. There's no comment. There's no comment on SOL, because you could kill it now and it could pop its ugly head up in about like 3 weeks. So it ain't gone until like it's dead. Like in the scary movies where you think the killer's dead and he's like, Jason's still chasing after your ass. Credits have not been ran on SOL yet. It's still always a possibility to come for us. And I'm not comfortable getting rid of it. It's been who I am for 30 plus years. How can I get rid of who I am?
It's true. It absolutely is. Russ, where do you fall on same old Lions?
So same old Lions, reality is dead. Just because you've been a fan for 30 years doesn't mean that there's any through line connecting 30 years ago Detroit Lions to today's Detroit Lions. However, if I were to ask you, are you afraid of the dark? You would likely say, no, I'm a full-grown adult. I'm not. Most of us are. It's okay. But if I turn off those lights to that same person and I knock on a window, there's going to be that little bit of fear. You're going to feel it because it's primal and it's been beat into you for years and years of being just feeling sad and Honolulu blue, right? And in that way, same old Lions will never die. Like, exactly like Justin said. It's exactly like the horror movie. It is... The same old Lions is the enemies we've made along the way, not the friends, right? And they sit in your heart and they will be there forever, because even if they win a Super Bowl, even if they win two Super Bowls, the minute that there is a bit of weakness, right? The minute that you're like, hey, we just have to go into Green Bay the last week of the season and beat Matt Flynn, right? That's all we got to do, right? But right? And you get the war flashbacks from that entirety of it. Like, yes, the concept will never die. However, it is incredibly tired, and it is not based in reality itself. It is a different team. It's a different owner now. And most importantly, it's a coaching staff that's not trying to be a replica of somebody else's coaching staff.
No.
Right?
Oh, this is, what an idea.
Right. What a crazy idea to be yourself, right? To try to build something new. But when's the last time we did that, right? Marinelli was supposed to bring the Tampa 2 system. Jim Schwartz was supposed to bring the defense from Tennessee, right? We all know about, you know, the guy with the pencil behind his ear whose name won't be mentioned. Even back to Mariucci, this has been the playbook for the Lions, and that's not what's happening here. You picked a head coach who had never been a full-time offensive coordinator.
No. Interim head coach was about the best he had done, and it was just filling in for a really bad Miami Dolphins team. So, no, yeah, I completely get it. You know, the reason I asked that is because, you know, every week after with these wins, you kind of want to keep celebrating. So, you know, social media, the Lions will post, like, the locker room, you know, Campbell's speech afterwards.
Oh, yes. And
exactly. But Campbell made a comment in there that I think made me realize everybody's like, oh, this guy's just some big, tough former football player. But it made me realize he is way more aware of what's going on than you realize, because he said, a couple weeks ago, we don't win this game. A couple weeks ago, something small happens, like we saw last year with the Ravens and like we've seen in the past where the Lions should win it. You sack a guy twice in a drive and he still somehow completes a 40-yard bomb to set up a field goal. He goes, a couple weeks ago, we don't win this game. That shows you where we are now, that we're figuring out ways to finish games. Now, forever what you want to believe it, yes, it was a missed field goal. So how much they finished that game, I don't know. At the end of the day, the box score still reads win, and you got to take it for what it is. But I agree with that. You know, right before the streak started this year, they don't win that game. They, you know, they stack him twice, and then Wilson throws a 50-yard bomb, and it's a chip shot kick for Zuerlein. They found a way to get it done. They found a way to make sure they didn't get him in, they let themselves get into a good position. And that's why forever, for whatever you think same old Lions is, this is a different Lions team. This is a Lions team that now, do I think they go 10-7 and win? I do, but I think that's because they're going to find a way to stay in and win games the way they wouldn't have been able to do 5-6 weeks ago. That's how I feel about it. I also think same old Lions is just a way to complain, but that's just me.
Yep. Do you know what? Do you know what might be the true indication? Because now you're bringing Campbell into the conversation. The true way to know SOL is dead, he walks into a room and he takes a pair of pants and he goes like this and nothing comes out. There's no dust. Remember in Hard Knocks where he did that with a pair of pants? Russ, did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
He goes,
or at least don't remember.
It was the little things. It was the things we need to clean up. It's the old cringiness that's still sitting. He took a pair of pants and he shook them out and dust went everywhere in the room. He goes, we got to clean it up. Before the season started. So he walks into the room and goes, fresh press, motherfuckers. And it's all just brand new pants. We're golden.
Look, I love Dan Campbell.
So corny. I love it.
No, I love Dan Campbell. But at the end of the day, Dan Campbell is a high school football coach coaching the Detroit Lions. The speeches he gives, the way he hypes people up, that's what Joe Pacey and John Bechtel and Dennis Hermany did for me in high school football. That's how they hyped you up. Dan Campbell's doing that for a bunch of people who are professional football players. But you know what? It's tapping into something. It's reminding these guys what those games meant back in high school and college, and how if you treat it that way and don't treat it for the, you know, yes, you're getting paid, but you treat it for the game, meaning everything it does. You see these guys, they're starting to play harder. They're playing faster and they're playing smarter. And look, you know what I'm expecting? If we can get to Green Bay, they need to take a camera into the locker room at halftime of Green Bay, because I swear he is going to either give the Titans speech, I don't want them to gain another yard, or he's going to give the Billy Bob Thornton, boys, my heart is full speech from Friday Night Lights, and it's going to work.
You're skipping Pacino.
That's offense true. Hat again. No, that'll be the pregame.
Inches in front of your face.
By the way, I was watching that movie before this show started, so I know exactly what you're talking about. That's 6 inches you claw with your fingernails. Yep. No, it's gonna be. Right, it's gonna be great.
Last one. I'm the cheesiest coach.
I don't know what that is.
Cheez-It commercial. Cheez-It commercial. There's a football. Oh. He's coaching up the cheese. Okay, never mind. Sorry. It must be my Disney subscription.
Anyway,
I tried to take myself off the kit.
Yes, how long should we let him sit there? But see, what's weird, guys, is they could win out. This is the thing I have the hardest time grasping. They could win out. They could go 10-7. Great record. Phenomenal. Can't believe it happened. And still not make the playoffs because of this pesky, crappy Tampa Bay football team that's just butt cheeks, but still could manage to make the playoffs over a terrible division. And I put it in my notes. I was like, that to me would be the only way you could say same old Lions, because it has nothing to do with them, but somehow they still get screwed out of it.
Well, the number one way you can prevent that is starting by beating Carolina, because if Tampa Bay just wins that division, then you don't got to compete with them for a wild card spot.
It's true. It's very true. I mean, it's just, oh, it's so rough. You never wanted anything more, but honestly, it just seems like that'll be our luck. That one of those six wins or losses from earlier in the season is going to come back to bite us. Where if you had just won this game, or if we had won that, because you go back and look at their schedule, they've had so many close games. I mean, they went toe to toe with Philly, who's the number one team in the NFL right now,
and the Bills,
Miami.
The Vikings, they only lost to by 4 points. Seahawks,
New England
by three.
Was closed.
Yeah, that, let's blame Russ. Let's blame Russ's Seattle Seahawks. Russ's Seattle Seahawks screwed us. Lost to the Dolphins.
Hey, that is Pro Bowl quarterback Geno Smith. Thank you very much.
Oh my God.
What timeline are we in?
Yeah. Lost to the Dolphins by four. So I'm just saying, any of these wins, if they can pull off a win there, it's not even a question. They're in, they're comfortable. And what's insane is if they could have beat Minnesota in that game, they still would have a very good chance to win the division outright if Minnesota loses out. So it would have been, it's one of those things where a score from the start of the year is going to be what could potentially kill us. And I hate it. I just absolutely hate it.
That's the SOL fear creeping mm-hmm. back into the conversation. So let me push it back down with some optimism here.
Let's do it.
The year is 1970. The New England Patriots are still the Boston Patriots. There's 26 teams in the league. Mm. The Cincinnati Bengals start off 1-6. The Cincinnati Bengals make the playoffs.
Oh my
God. That's the last time it happened. And who else happened to be in the playoffs that year? Your Detroit Lions, one of the like four times it's ever happened. Cincinnati's almost got a playoff spot locked up. Detroit now starts the season 1-6. On their way to the playoffs. This Detroit Lions team is the team that can and will. There's your cannibalism for the day.
I'm glad. I loved it. All I needed was you taking a big chug of coffee before you gave that speech, and I would have been absolutely about it. Jay, I can't tell if Jay's frozen or he's just very perturbed with what you just said. It's very weird. We'll bring Jay back in when he's actually visibly moving. Russ, as we move on, because we were going to talk about the NFL playoffs, we're still a little ways away. There's still a lot to discuss, so we'll probably preview it as we get a little closer. But before we do, for you, is there a favorite that's actually emerged? Do you think there's a favorite in this NFL that you could say, if I had to put some money down, that's the team I think could do it?
I mean, it was going to be Philly before the Jalen Hurts injury. And now it's like, you know, I'm looking at the Minnesota Vikings at 11-3, and I'm going, if they're 11-3, can I trust anybody? Like San Francisco, I want to, because they find a way to keep winning. But like Brock Purdy, eventually
you're just
that's
waiting for
go.
The shoe to drop. I know, yeah.
Right, eventually. It's, I mean, at some point, it has to happen. Buffalo is probably the closest thing for me, and that's a team that almost lost to the Lions. I kid. No, if I had to put money right now, I'd pick the field. Like, no, I don't feel confident in any of the favorites right now.
Okay. Yeah. Buffalo and Kansas City, as long as Patrick Mahomes has a football in his hand, I feel very comfortable kind of giving him a shot on it. We'll bring him back in now, 'cause it looks like he unfroze.
There he goes.
Jay, you see the banner right there. Is there a favorite for you that's emerged in the NFL to, you know, as we get ready for playoffs?
Oh, a favorite. I mean, I've been on Philly since the season started. I was really high on them. I thought Jalen Hurts was, I picked him to be the MVP. It might still happen, but
I know I'm getting ready. I have the jersey sitting in the shopping cart, because I'm gonna have to buy that jersey, unfortunately.
But Minshew's starting this weekend. I don't know, man. The Jags have a good chance as well. I don't know if you guys talked about the Jags while I was gone. No. Nope. But they're right on the cusp. They only have a couple games. They've got the hang on 1 second. They got the Jets, Texans, and Titans. That's not impossible for them. New England has the Bills, Bengals, and Dolphins, and the Jets have the Jags, which is tonight, Seahawks and the Dolphins. So Jacksonville might squeak in just like we might squeak in. So I'm gonna pick them as not so much a favorite, but just to get there. It's good for both organizations in terms of what they're looking for. So I'll go with the dogs of Jacksonville.
Okay.
The Jaguar is not a dog. Just
it's not.
It's dogs as in underdogs.
Good for you. But I'm going to go with the Sardines, and I'm going to say the Miami Dolphins. I think they're a quiet team that could – look, I am not a Tua fan by any means, but this team has found a way to be very tough and very competitive. They still have some work to do, obviously, but I like them. I think they're a very solid football team, and I think if they get in, they could cause some problems. Now, like I was saying to Russ, as long as Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen are playing football, it's really hard to root against either of those guys because I think they're two of the most physically gifted people the football the game of football has ever seen. It's phenomenal. So I really do like them a lot. I really kind of wish that my Chargers would turn a corner and become a competitive football team, but they can't seem to figure out how to do that. Big Herbert fan. My question for you guys though, is let's say everything works out the way we wanted to. Lions win out the season. They managed to squeak in and they're in the NFC playoffs. Is there an NFL with how they're playing right now? Because I've heard it mentioned on many different sites and shows. Jay, with how they're playing right now, is there an NFC team that you could comfortably pick over the Detroit Lions right now? An NFC playoff team. So you're talking about the Eagles, the Cowboys, who the Cowboys are, in my opinion, somehow they're like Minnesota. How they're at 10-4, I don't know. Dak Prescott might not even have a job next year with his inability to keep the ball. Minnesota, potentially, you know, Tampa Bay, whatever, San Francisco. So you're talking about teams like that. Is there a team that if you said, hey, the Detroit Lions are going to play this team, I'd have to bet against the Lions?
Bet against them? Probably the Niners. They've got a system that just works. It doesn't matter who's the quarterback. And that's kind of been like, that's been their MO. Like you can put anyone in there. Like it doesn't got to be a long ball. Just keep it cute and keep it moving. So yeah. I'd go Niners. That would scare the shit out of me right now.
Rusty.
San Francisco was one I was looking at too. But if Jalen Hurts is healthy, obviously Philly too.
It makes sense. Yeah.
But like nobody from the NFC South. Would even come close to the I don't even think anyone in the NFC South would be favored over the Lions at all, even if you combine two of the rosters. NFC West, yeah, like what? Seattle? No, they got the same record. Dallas, I mean, you already covered that one. So the only one we haven't talked about right now is Minnesota, who they beat, and the Giants, who is anyone really scared of the Giants, who are somehow 8-5-1?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just kicked the shit out of them 31-18. Like, no, this is a team that's got a lot of pluck and can stand up with pretty much anyone right now in the NFC.
See, and my reasoning is this is, look, Philly, we lost to them by 4 points. We hung with them the entire time when we were playing bad football. Dallas, they kicked our butt, but we had a 2-week lull where we couldn't get anything going offensively. Since then, we have one of the top offenses in the league that most teams can't seem to figure out. You talk like Minnesota. Minnesota got off to a great hot start. They can't seem to maintain and they can't seem to figure it out, so I'm not too scared about them. Then you do get to that San Francisco, Seattle kind of thing. Russ, you and I were saying, like, look, San Francisco, this offense works and it really does work. You're playing with your third quarterback, a rookie who's not tested or proven, and you don't know what you're going to get week to week. If this was Jimmy G, I think I would say San Francisco very comfortably. And I would just kind of be like, you know what? There's too much experience. Brock Purdy is a young guy. And the way this defense is playing, I think he could give them a lot of problems. So while they are you know, 10-4. They're a great team. They're probably a favorite to win the division. I would say, or to win the NFC, I would say I'm not too scared of them. So really, this is going to sound weird because they're sitting at 7-7 and again, have work to do, but I kind of do. I go with Seattle. Geno is coming out of nowhere to be a guy this year. And I don't know where it's coming from. So that's a team that gets me because I think they're kind of like the Lions. They're just kind of unknown and they're doing it in a way no one can really explain. So it would be Seattle, which is insane because you're talking about Philly, Dallas, Minnesota, and San Francisco are all 10 plus win teams. And none of them really scare me that much. So it's very, very, it's a very interesting thing. And look, the person, you know, the guy that likes to shake things up in me would really love to say, well, if they got that far, is there anyone in the AFC that scares you? But I just can't get that far in front of the wagon right now. It would hurt my heart too much. So let's wrap this segment up the best way possible. They got Carolina this week. What are your guys' thoughts, Jay? What's your thought on Lions Carolina this week?
Oh man, I am uncomfortable. I gotta go with a win. They tried Baker Mayfield. It didn't work out. They got rid of CMC. He's gone. Chuba Howard. Wow. Not really impressed. Carolina doesn't spook me at all. I want to just have a comfortable win. That's it. I think they play Saturday. So just give me a nice Christmas Day game. Like, let it be chill. Let us win. Like a show nothing type of win. Like most of your Michigan football schedule, like for the first 5-6 games, just a nice, quiet, calm W and let's go home.
I couldn't hear you over the college football playoff roar in the background. Yeah. What was that?
By the way, you do know that Christmas is on Sunday, right?
Yeah, but don't the Lions play Saturday?
Yeah, yeah. So why would that be a Christmas Day game?
I'm sorry. Saturday, I'm going to go celebrate Christmas. So in my mind, that's my Christmas because it kind of is. Sorry. There you go. I'm in the middle of Hanukkah too. There's a lot happening right now. Okay, man. I'm trying to understand.
Yeah, now I understand. Russ, over to you. Just to give you a little thing, how I don't know, but Carolina is a 58% favorite. The Lions are a minus 2.5 underdog, and the over-under is 43.5.
Yeah, I don't know how Carolina is a favorite right now, except for the fact that, hey, it's in Carolina, but still, like, you're gonna honestly look at me and go, Sam Darnold, that's the one. Carolina, who themselves have signaled repeatedly, we're not going to compete this year. They're going to all of a sudden turn things around here against the fastest rising rocket in the fleet right now. It's yes. Mm-hmm. Eventually, I do think the last 7-8 games, the Lions are playing above their reality in the way that like everything's clicking. Every single thing's going right. Goff isn't turning it over. The defense, the run defense, the last 5 games has been phenomenal, right? And eventually the pendulum always swings back the other way. Could it be this week? I don't think so. I don't see enough from Carolina themselves to be the ones to force the pendulum the other way. So that would mean that the Lions themselves had to do it. And you're talking about J-Mo now, week 3 being active, right? He could be ready to start being a bigger part. So Brock Wright come out of nowhere, right, to seal a game last week. Like there's too much going right for the Lions to be the reason that the pendulum swings the other way right away. Somebody else is going to have to do it. It's going to be Aaron Rodgers remembering that he's Aaron Rodgers, right, to get a game like that. Or even Justin Fields just deciding, you know, I'm going to throw for 300 and run for 200, right? Like that's the kind of special thing. And nobody on Carolina scares me to have that kind of difference-making potential. Let's call it 30-20. Lions come away with a win.
Okay. All right. Yeah. My only fear in this is like going to college football is this a trap game? Is this the game where you're already looking past it because you know you got two division rivals you beat up on in your previous in your previous matchup? So is Carolina that team? You're almost like, let's just get in, get it over with, get out, and before you know it, it's the fourth quarter and you're really grinding. It's like, no, get in there, put your foot on the pedal, make this almost like the Jacksonville game where you don't even give Jacksonville a chance to be a part of the game. You know, make it so that in that fourth quarter, Goff's just handing it off and you can, you know, you can just have a nice, easy, relaxing week, get it over with. I'm right where Russ is. I'm going to actually go under it though. I'm going to say that they are a little more conservative. I'm going to say like 31-14. I think this defense is playing so well. I don't know where Carolina gets the points, if I'm being honest. Like, it's going to have to be a lot of field goals, I feel like. So I'll say 31-14. Lions get the W, and hey, we're on to two NFC North matchups that I'm really looking forward to, because this is the first time we have a chance to see the Lions really dominate the division in a long time. So should be exciting. Yeah. Jay, this next segment, I understand if you want to turn your headphones off, if you want to just sit and, you know, take a nap or something.
Comfortable.
Oh, you're okay.
You shouldn't be, okay. But I'm comfy.
I don't know why I shouldn't be, but that's fine.
The horny zones are coming.
Yeah, let's get it out of the way quick. TCU takes on Michigan on December 31st in the Verbo Fiesta Bowl. Is everybody excited? I know I am. Jay, you know what? I'll let you get your angry, I'm upset because
bullshit.
No, I was going to say, I'll let you get your angry, I'm upset because Tuck Cummins didn't come the way I wanted him to.
That's not how that works.
That's how that works. Jay,
that's not how
TCU Horned Frogs, Michigan Wolverines.
That is not how that works. That just because one thing does not correlate to the other. Yes, we had a down year, and it does not sway my opinion on U of M football at all. I watched every one of your games. I know what I'm seeing. I will admit I did not watch every single purple TCU game. Not at all. Nope. But what I can tell you is that they were tested. They went to double overtime against OK State. They had a close game with Kansas State twice this year. Obviously, they lost the Big 12 championship to them. But they were tested. And when I look back at their schedule, they had those tough moments. And I think that carries weight for my decision. Michigan's closest game was against a team with too many I's in their name. And it was a close battle against Illinois. And that was really it. So if I'm looking at schedule for some indication, I lean TCU. I have respect for Michigan's game. I have respect for what they've done for 2 years in a row now, and you've been to Indy twice. Congratulations. With that being said, though, I think you guys are going to have a hard time with TCU's quarterback Duggan running on third, running extending plays, creating something out of nothing, and having those swinging moments where, oh shit, this is going to happen. Mm-hmm. And with that said, I got to go TCU 27, U of M 24. And I think it's going to be an absolute – the committee is going to wish they would have put MSU or U of M versus OSU in week one, and they didn't do it. And we're going to get a vanilla TCU playing against the other team that I'm going to pick, and it's going to be like, huh, okay, let's move on to the next season. I honestly am hoping for a complete disaster, but I think there's a logical way that it could happen. TCU has been tested. You guys have not, and Duggan can run. So I'm going to go with TCU.
Did you fail to count Ohio State as one of Michigan's close games?
No, because OSU gave it up. I watched that game. OSU, Michigan took advantage
of
OSU.
Keep making my point for me. Yep.
TCU is more tested.
By the way.
Okay, you didn't count the Ohio State game as a close game because Michigan dominated them so thoroughly that, in your words, Ohio State gave up. That's way more of a feather in a cap than a demerit. Ohio State, who is number four in the country and also in the college football playoff, had their ass taken off, polished, and handed back to them.
It's a soft four.
So much
four.
So
it's
that you're like, four. Indiana was a close game, but not this one. The fact that it wasn't a close game is a proof of talent, is a proof of quality.
I think it has something to say about OSU more.
The number four team in the country?
It's a soft four.
It's a soft four. So who is
TCU? You couldn't put Bama there.
Who is TCU beat that's higher than four?
Well, based on their schedule, they did beat four top 25 opponents within top at the time. 25. They beat four of them, yes.
I'm asking you top five. I'm asking you playoff caliber.
Not a lot. Not a lot.
Not a lot. No, not a lot. Bob. Not great, Bob.
But they did have those games. They had double OT. They had overtime for the championship game.
If you make a game close against an inferior opponent, that is a demerit. That is not a good thing. You don't want close games. You want to win every game 100-0. And the more times you do that, the better team you are.
Yeah. By the way, Jay, I would like to
brought to you
out
by my brain, and yeah. This is where this I am pontificating that the horny toads are going to get it done.
That's fine. By the way, I would like to point out that your one thing that you labeled as the reason that Michigan would struggle defensively was because we'd have a hard time with Duggan running on those downs.
You're the best. You're the best run defense in the Big Ten.
No. That's not what I was going to say. If only Michigan had a quarterback on their team who did the exact same thing all year when we needed him to. Oh, that's right. J.J. McCarthy was able to make big runs late when needed to move the chains and keep the offensive line.
I never said that. Okay, the score is 27-24. It's close. I've got it right there. I have respect on both sides. I'm just going to be a horn toad, whatever they're called. Horn frog. I'm ready for it.
Well, all right. So, Ross, I'll pass this along to you now. Michigan 66% favorite. Spread is 7.5. Going Michigan's way, over under 58.5 points.
I'm a petty man at times, so I'm going to say 27-24 Michigan for the points outlined above, and because it's a reversal of Justin's pick.
No respect. No respect on the show today.
None, Mr. Horny Toad, the Horned Frogs.
Mm-hmm. Look, I'm not going to be a petty person. No Blake Corum worries me a lot. I think that Edwards has stepped up and played well. I think that, you know, J.J. McCarthy exceeded my expectations this year. I was very much against, and if you go back and listen, I was very much against them taking Cade out because I felt like you spent all this time trying to find the winning formula and you kind of found it. And then the first thing you did afterwards was say, how can I mess with this? And I was like, look, J.J. is an absolutely superior athlete to Blake Corum. Mm-hmm. To Cade McNamara.
Shots fired.
They might actually be equal athletes, but Cade McNamara. But Cade McNamara got it done when he needed to. J.J. stepped up and did that, so I can't take anything away from him. He's literally in the exact same spot Cade is. Now is the proving ground. Now you have to do what Cade didn't do and win a playoff game. If he can do that, I was wrong. I'll eat my words. I'm happy to do so because my team will have won. I think we are looking at the 27 was right. I don't disagree with the 27 at all. I think we're looking at 27-17 Michigan over TCU. Duggan could have been the Heisman Trophy winner. He put up the numbers to do it. He absolutely did. Their running back matched Blake Corum almost perfectly for rushing. You know, had less carries and was about 100 yards shy of him. Rushed for 17 touchdowns. Their running back was tied with him perfectly. Receivers right there. So these are two very equally matched teams, hence why they're 2-3. I just think Michigan has a lot figured out right now, and that defense, which was a big worry for me going into this past year when you lost all that talent, didn't miss a beat. They found a way to stay competitive and, you know, next man up mentality. So 27-17, Michigan moves on to a national championship, and I'm excited for it. Going over the other side, the number one, you know, juggernaut of a football team that is Georgia takes on Ohio State. I don't really want to get into it because it's a long rant that'll kill me. But if you lose to a team that's in the college football playoff, you shouldn't be in the college football playoff. That's all I'm going to say about it. So the fact that Ohio State is there, I don't really understand. But, hey, it is what it is. Ohio State finishes the year 11-1. That's right. That one loss came to a Michigan team that they gave up on. I'll go first here. I think, look, Georgia is the team to beat until someone beats him. They are just that much more talented. Stetson Bennett, honestly, because that team is so good, I think he gets underlooked. Stetson Bennett might have been the best quarterback in the country this year, but because he had so many great pieces around him, I feel like he kind of got put into that Alabama effect where it's like, well, yeah, you should be good. You're playing on an all-star roster. Stetson Bennett is a phenomenal quarterback. I mean, 3,400 yards, 20 touchdowns to 6 interceptions. He played phenomenal football. So for me, it's Georgia. The spread is 6.5, over under 62. I think you're going to see out of Georgia what Michigan did. I think it's going to be like 30-21 Georgia. I think they're going to lay it on Ohio State. Ohio State's got a great offense, but they don't have any kind of defense to speak about. So 30-21 Georgia over Ohio State. Georgia, Michigan make the national championship, Jay.
So now do I need to do the inverse of your score and just
pick? If you want.
That's how you do it. Yeah.
If you want to do
that. I can't do that. No, I've got OSU missing two extra points and only getting 26 points on their side of the game. I've got Georgia winning 31-26. How could you not pick Georgia? How does someone on OSU come out and say this week, we've got nothing to lose? Like, that's if you're, like, still good. You also have nothing to win here. Like, that's the other part of that. So, no, I'm going Georgia 31, OSU 26. Georgia has.
After this brief commercial break, we'll be returning you to the thoughts of Justin Marcus. While we're waiting on him. Internet connection's not great today. We're all kind of bouncing in and out. Russ, this Ohio State Georgia matchup for you.
I mean, not to sound redundant, but yes, until Georgia is beat, Georgia is the team to beat. They've just been unreal, pretty much a class of their own. I'd pick Georgia over Michigan if they played today, right? Mm-hmm. And even taking in my Homer bias to make that even, you know, something that's worth mentioning. It's going to be Georgia. It's just a question of how much, right? And how much can that Ohio State defense really slow them down? And Michigan exposed a lot of ways to expose them on defense there. So I'll go, what's an actually attainable score that we can get here?
Over-under's like 63, I believe. So you got some number, you got some room to play.
We do. Let's go, we'll say two field goals on that one. 34-27, Georgia.
Okay. I like that. I mean, again, this Ohio State thing, the one thing that Ohio State has going for them, they can put up points. They can put up points in bunches. The problem is they have a real hard time stopping people from putting up points. So if they don't get out to a lead that they can just keep holding, they really struggle. And the thing with that is Georgia has a very good defense that can keep you from putting up points in bunches. So, but on top of that, they also are a pretty damn good football team on the offensive side of the ball too. So it's kind of, you're running into what is probably the most complete football team in college football. I see him back in the waiting room. Jay, we really wanted to hear the end of your thought process because we were really liking it. You were telling us about Georgia, Ohio State.
I'm trying to piece together a competent sentence at this point with my internet and my computer now restarting. Georgia's going to win. I don't know what OSU's even playing for at this point. You got embarrassed by your rival. That's fair. They're dead. They shouldn't even show up.
I like it. And obviously when the national championship comes along, we'll touch on it because we can't predict what we don't know yet, but it's that time of year. Look, we started this tradition 5 years ago. It's the one of the things we do consistently every year because, you know, we're still kids at heart. We're talking about sports. We're sitting here talking. We're not talking about things that matter more than, you know, other parts of our lives. This is just something we have fun doing. But one thing we've always done is what we want for Christmas. What's that one thing that if you could wish it for Detroit sports or sports in general, it doesn't even have to be Detroit sports. I mean, let's be honest. There was a moment there where I was like, you know, I was putting my list together. I was like, I kind of want more soccer like I saw in that World Cup because I'm not a soccer person by any extent. Like, I'll watch it from time to time. I sat there for almost all of that final. My dad, who you both know my father is not a soccer person at all, called me and right when it was getting close to overtime, called me and goes, why can't I turn this off? And I was like, I was like, you got to hit the button. He goes, no, like every time I get ready to change it, something happens and I can't turn this off. And my dad, not a soccer person at all, gets to the shootout. And my dad literally goes, you got to go top left here. That's just the best strategy right now. He's not playing for that top left. And I was like, what are you talking about? So that was almost my wish. But I'll go first here. It's that, you know, we do it every year and it's so much fun. So it's
make my wish come true. You know that all I want for Christmas is
for these teams not to take a step back next year. Lions are on a roll and look to have figured something out. Wings are competitive with young talent. Pistons just gave a secret contract extension to Troy Weaver. I don't know if anybody knew that, but he's not going anywhere. Pistons have a great young core. Could be very tough to beat when they fully gel. Michigan is back-to-back Big Ten champs and in the playoffs. Keep building, keep working towards a chance to bring titles back to Detroit. That's what I want. We have quite a few teams that are either right there or just a step behind being able to make the big step to being competitive. That's what I want. I don't want to see all these teams take a massive backslide and we have to start all over again somewhere. Keep building, keep working. That to me would be the ideal thing. Normally it's, I want to win a championship. I'd love that, but just give me these teams building, 'cause I want multiple titles at this point. That's how I feel about it.
There's nothing wrong with that. Pistons having more than 10 wins before Christmas would be a treat next year.
It'd be phenomenal. Well, because his internet might give out at any point.
Make my wish come true. You know that all I want for Christmas is.
I'm going super granular here, like super like low key. You went really big perspective. I'm going tiny. I want a healthy and happy Jacob Varana to come back and score the first goal of the game coming from the break. Their game tomorrow got postponed against Ottawa. Give me Varana, like game winner, hat trick. Make him the starlight of our next game. So I want a happy Varana back on the team. That's it. A healthy Varana back on the team.
Okay. Russ.
Make my wish come true. You know that all I want for Christmas is.
I can't believe I'm the one that gets to say it. The Detroit Lions make the playoffs.
Yes.
Oh, God. This is the team that can and will.
Come on. I gotta tell you, man, this is great football. It's hard to win in this league.
Man.
Yeah, that's he loves the man line.
That's it. Man. You want Legos as a kid for a reason. They're awesome, man. Give it to me.
Look, all of these are great. Like, Varana is a phenomenal one, Jay. It's not like we want to see this guy succeed, and him being on the team makes them that much better. Lions making the playoffs, that's a wish that we have every year. We don't always get to even remotely consider it. This is the first chance to do it. And the fact that how they're doing it, it really does feel like something like, it almost feels like Major League, like where they're like, let's just win the pennant just to spite everyone. That's what it feels like. It feels like they were like, hey, we're 1-6. We suck. And Dan Campbell stood up, gave his Remember the Titans speech and said, let's just win. Let's just win out and like show them that we can do this, man. And it's like, okay, let's do that. And that's what they're doing. And it's the first time in a long time that I think we could say we have more than one team to look forward to in Detroit. And that's not something we've been able to say a lot recently. So it's a great thing to be able to say.
To complete the Major League reference, I give it a 4-1 odds that somewhere there is a cutout of Dan Campbell with his long hair just covered in Post-its. And it's half uncovered already, baby.
Oh, wouldn't you? But it doesn't have kneecaps. Like there's a gap. Yeah,
no, there's no kneecaps.
Between the kneecaps. Yeah, no, I could see that. I definitely, that's not an image I really wanted, but that'd be a big cutout, too. That dude's like 6 foot six. He's huge. Mm-hmm. He's a big dude.
Man.
Let your internet go out again. Good God, man.
We haven't done one of these in so long. Don't act like you've been dealing with a coworker like every day in your ear.
Been dealing with you every day for the last 10 years. That's going to do it for us here on Armchair Sports Talk. Look, season's greetings to everyone. We love doing this. We know it's been a little hit or miss lately. We unfortunately all have grown up lives now and we can't just, you know, get together as often as we'd like to. But when we do, as you can see, we have a great time doing it. So my thanks as always to the stat man, Russ Ivanek.
It's been a pleasure. I have to run to a doctor's appointment for the kid. Speaking of adult things, but I'm so grateful we got to get this in. It's always a pleasure, boys.
Love it. And Sergeant Salty Justin Marcus, you are the best, buddy.
Hey, go TCU. Let's do this. Let's shock the world. I'm all about, don't you dare cut me out. Go TCU. We're going to win. It's my team.
Hey, there he goes. And as always, I'm Eric Dorsch. That's one small step for us. One giant leap back in Detroit sports broadcasting. See you, everybody.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.